I am Confucius Jones, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast, where you'll be hearing highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX. Me and my co-hosts were both born and raised here in Austin, Texas, and want to spread the word about Austin's burgeoning hip-hop and R&B scenes. We're here to take over the airways. No matter where you're from or where you stay, 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up, this is The Breaks. You could be anywhere but you ain't. You in, so let's go see with the wave. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up, this is The Breaks. Music news time. So, Brianna infamously told her fans that she was going to release an album before the end of 2019.
Yeah.
Obviously, that hasn't happened. Rihanna's last album was Anti, which I argue was her best album. She has not released an album since then. So, there's been it's called R9. That's what they call it, because Rihanna's ninth album.
Mm-hmm.
The release date, the secrets of it are starting to kind of get hit detox proportion. Dr. Dre's detox. Dr. Dre's detox famously was teased and previewed for, I don't know, what, like 15 years?
Somewhere close to that. And it never came out.
Now, Rihanna's album hadn't taken 15 years because Anti came out in 2017. But, you know, it's getting to the point now where any information that comes out about it, fans automatically latch onto.
Yeah.
So today, Shaggy, reggae artist Shaggy, came out and said that he was asked to be on R9. The one consistent rumor about R9 is that it's going to be mostly reggae, which I'm all for because I like reggae. Rihanna is very good at patois because she's from the islands.
Yeah, she's Barbadoan. I don't know.
She's from Barbados.
Yeah.
So Shaggy said, he did an interview and said he was asked to be a part of R9, but there's a huge BUT.
I see.
He declined it because he was asked to audition. He said, yeah, his exact quote was, they approached me for the Rihanna project. There's a lot of great people involved, but for me, I didn't need to audition to be on the record. I'll leave that to younger guys. But from what I hear, it should be great.
Salute to him on how he handled that and answered that. But Shaggy's been in the industry for quite some time, so he not new to this.
Shaggy probably feels like, I kind of helped pave the way for this. So.
Yeah.
And Miss Mombasa came out like in 94.
You want me to what?
Funny story. So, and I'll let you know, get your thoughts in after I say this. I went to the Glow in the Dark tour with Kanye West in 2008 maybe. 2008, 2009, because it was when Graduation album came out. And Rihanna was one of the openers. And Rihanna was still like...
I remember that. I desperately wanted to go to that tour.
Yeah, the openers were Lupe, Rihanna, N.E.R.D., and then Kanye. Rihanna was right before N.E.R.D., and then after N.E.R.D. was Kanye. And Rihanna came out, and I was on the floor. I had floor seats. And you know, no, I did not buy them. I didn't buy them. Shout out to the scalpers. Well, I did buy them, but I didn't buy them for the price they were worth. So me and the person I went with were on the floor. And when there came time for the stage to change from Lupe to Rihanna, people started getting up. They were like, hey, we don't want to see her. Because at that time, she had just put out Umbrella. Like, it had just come out. So she wasn't really like the Rihanna we know now. So people started getting up and leaving. But when she finally did come out, as people were like walking around, you know, getting their food, whatever, mm-hmm. She came out singing Mr. Boombastic by Shaggy.
How ironic.
which was smart because people knew that song more so than they knew a lot of Rihanna songs at that time. So the fact that she asked Shaggy to be on it and then didn't, and then hadn't made him audition. I'm pretty sure Shaggy knew that she was opening her set to his song.
Quite ironic.
He's probably like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm sure he
if
was.
If you were Shaggy, what would you do?
I probably would, in public, I probably would have answered that same way, but when I read that come across my email, I probably would have been cursing up a storm. Like, how dare she think I got an audition? I'm Shaggy. She know who I am? She checked my stats?
You know what I'm doing?
Like, it wasn't me. It was a huge song.
I mean, that whole album was huge. Angel and, man, I bet they played the crap out of that down here.
Yeah, so, like, I would, like, she need to check my stats. Like, you know, you need to pull up my numbers. I need to pull up my billboard. Like, I got an audition. If I was Shaggy, that's probably how I would have answered, like, replied to it with my team around me.
I think it wasn't so much that Rihanna said he had to audition, but because, you know, once again, I'm the Rihanna Navy. Like, I know there's the Beehive, and I love the Beehive. Shout out to the Beehive. But when it comes to, like...
You a Navy member.
I'm a card-carrying Rihanna Navy member.
You
saluting exactly.
In the Navy.
I serve in the Rihanna Navy military very strongly. But we gotta be honest, fans. Rihanna has a team of writers and people around her that help her create albums. I'm pretty sure it's her team that said, nah, you have to audition. Rihanna probably didn't say anything. Rihanna
probably did. He probably was her publicist or a team or a manager writers or and somebody. Yeah.
Because I highly doubt Rihanna. Rihanna's probably at the place she's like, look, when y'all send me the song and how it's supposed to sound, then send it to me. But I'm not going to sit here through the entire creative process. So I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the creative process, the songwriters or her team was like, okay, let's reach out to Shaq and ask him to send his verse back, see how it sounds, and then we'll tell him how.
And I'm sure she has much more respect for Shaggy than that.
She might, you know what? She might see this report and reach out to him personally and be like, hey, bro, it's good. I got you on here.
Yeah, she might. She just might. Well, I think she's that type of person. But I feel like once this album come out, if it's not what people expected, they're going to hate it. Because I feel like the hype for it and the anticipation for it is building up to that level. So once it comes out and it's not, if it's anything less than just stellar and amazing, people are going to hate it.
Which is kind of...
That's how fans do these days.
That's why, you know, I'm not in so much of a huge rush to get the new album because Anti was so good. And I hate when artists have to live up to their last album's expectations because sometimes it's almost impossible to do it, which is why I'm not really, like, losing my mind that Outkast hasn't put out another album. I'm like, there's a lot to follow up to.
Man.
Like, y'all don't have a bad album, so the one time you put out one, it's... So,
it's going to hurt bad. It's going to hit hard.
Jay-Z famously retired and then came back with... what album was that?
Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come.
Woo! That kind of was a hard, that was a hard listen, bro.
God, it was just not. It wasn't. It
talking
wasn't
about good credit and such and black cards. It's it like, fam, like, I'm.
What is it? 30s the new 40?
Yeah, 30s the new 20s. Yeah. Like, bro. Yeah.
I'm not used to this, man. I mean, I get it. Every artist needs a transition, but that was just not. Granted, he backdoored American Gangster. So, thank God for that. But
whew. Saving grace.
Because, man, I was like, Kingdom Come was not it. LL Cool J famously retired and came back. And, Exit 13.
Exit 13? Ooh, God. I heard like one song off. I was like, nah, I'm good, fam.
You got mad at Jay-Z if I want to put this out? You mad at Jay-Z before putting it out.
That's what I was like.
That album came out, he went running right back to what? To
NCIS Los Angeles?
He ain't been back since.
Right back to acting.
But, yeah, so, you know, shout out to Rihanna. I'm still looking forward to the album, but, you know.
I'm looking forward to it, but like
I'm interested to see how a song with her and Shaggy would sound.
I'm really interested in how an all reggae album from Rihanna will sound.
I don't think it's be all reggae. There's no Rock Nation and whoever the distributor is not gonna let her put out all reggae album. I mean, granted, she has the power to say like I'm doing what I want, but in terms of like singles, right. Reggae songs don't traditionally chart super high. But then again, I Like It by Cardi B, J Balvin, and Bad Bunny hit number one, so it's possible.
And she's Rihanna, so she has that working for her.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true. So, Boosie Badass. I love Boosie. He was in the news recently. Boosie is already an eccentric character. If anybody follows him on social media, you'll see when he goes on live on IG or Instagram.
I don't
even
follow Boosie, and I see it.
Yeah, he's very animated. Certain things. He's on Vlad TV a lot. So Boosie decided to attend an NBA game, which he's a pretty high profile rapper, so he has the money to go. He said courtside, and Boosie wore a sweater that had the signia of the
Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity,
which is a black fraternity.
Divine Nine?
Yeah, one of the Divine Nine, which is all the black fraternities and sororities. So, Bootsy Ward, and Bootsy is nowhere near a member of the Kappa fraternity. And, as if anybody knows black fraternities and how they react to people wearing their colors or representing them in any type of way and not being an actual member, there was some backlash, according to the internet. Bootsy, of course, was extremely confused as to why anybody was mad at him for wearing a sweater that he bought at the store. He said that he wanted to wear something red, and it was last minute, and he just happened to see a Kappa sweater at the store in the mall, and he bought it.
It was red, and it was white. Boom.
It matched what he had on. Black fraternities and sororities do not like people representing them or wearing their colors or insignias if they're not members there, because it takes a lot to join one of these fraternities or sororities. It costs money, time, pain, embarrassment. They feel very strongly about people, you know, support, you know, waving their flag and not having gone through the same thing as them.
Right.
To preface anything I'm about to say, my father is a Kappa. My grandfather was an Alpha. I have friends that are in black fraternities. Two friends that are Omegas, one friend that's a Kappa. And so with that being said, Fresh, I'll let you give your opinion on it and then I'll give mine.
I thought this was the funniest thing of 2020 so far, considering 2020 just started. But of this past week, that was by far the funniest thing that had consumed my day. I died laughing. And yes, I will say the same thing Confucius just said. I know people, my father is not a Kappa. He is a Q. He's an Omega. He's Omega Psi Phi. I have a sister, I have an aunt who is a Delta. I have a cousin who's a Delta. And I have other friends. I was involved with a young lady that was in a sorority. I know other people who were in. I have friends that I went to school with that are in sororities. They just recently celebrated Founders Day. They Founders Day this past week and all of that. But this was hilarious. And anytime being someone who went to a HBCU, a historically black college and university, and seeing the Greek life, it's hilarious. It's hilarious to me how they react off of this, especially with people like Boosie who just don't know. Because I think they assume that everybody knows this and everybody knows the rules. No, it's not. And I hate to liken it to this, but I liken it to gangbanging. A lot of people do a lot of stuff that is of the gangbanging culture. And then when they're called out on it, they're rather confused why they're called out on it, because they simply don't know. Like this whole craze about the kids on TikTok doing the Crip Walk.
Yeah,
doing that dance. I thought it was hilarious, but somebody who is in a gang and that is a Crip wouldn't think that's so hilarious. And these white kids, if somebody approached them about it, would be really confused as to why they're being pressured and pressed in that manner. Because they probably just think it's just a popular dance. Boosie Doc, this was just a good-looking sweater. He wanted to wear something red. He went in the store. It was that. You should have been mad at the brother asking, not asking Boosie, hey, are you in the fraternity? Like, do you know what this is? You should have been mad at that than the fact that he wore it out unbeknownst to him. And I laughed at his live when he said some dude approached him afterwards and was like, hey, man, you know, I just want to let you know the sweater you got on is some people that's not going to really like you having that on, and I don't really want nothing to happen to you out here because they real passionate about it. And Boosie told him straight up, you must not know who I am. And that's all I needed to hear about the situation.
Yeah, I just forgot that Boosie was...
If you know who Boosie
was
on
death row for murder.
If you know who Boosie is, then, man, look, yeah, you can rock it. That just would have been my answer. But also, this is coming from somebody who's not in that world.
Yeah, which is true. So... David Dennis is one of my favorite black writers. He's in a fraternity, and he wrote about this. He said, and I quote, seriously, what's the end game here? How do you tell someone that they can't buy something that's widely available in any black mall in America? How do you then tell someone not to wear a shirt that they purchased with their own money? Then what happens when they violate those sacred orders? How is that actually going to be enforced? Is anyone going to run up on Bootsy and throw hands? Even if it's not someone like Bootsy, are you going to choke someone out at Pier 1 Imports because they're wearing your letters? These can't be the aspirations of organizations based on being college educated and service oriented, right? What are we even doing here? While we may think of black Greek life is ambiguous, it's a small enough subset of society that most of the country has no clue about the basics, let alone the nuances of the culture. The best option in these instances is to explain to Bootsy or said Pier 1 shopper the history and importance of the letters and what they mean. Most would return the gesture with respect and understanding and probably not even want to wear the letters anymore, because most people are decent humans who won't go out of their way to disrespect others. And I, end quote. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. What David Innes says is correct. What is your end game here? Like, you're not going to make people stop wearing your stuff if you run up on them and try to be aggressive with them. Because that makes you, what, a gang. Gangs do that. Gangs are famously known for running up on people and being super aggressive with them for wearing colors they shouldn't be wearing. Granted, nobody's taking away from what you went through to become a Greek. Nobody's taking away what y'all mean to the community. Because, yes, at one point in time, Greeks were very essential to the black community in terms of, you know, upper mobility when it comes to jobs and just community. Nobody's taking that away. We know what y'all mean. Martin Luther King was an alpha. Steve Harvey's an omega. Like... we know what Greek means. It's important. But this is what y'all did to Bootsy. Y'all look stupid. Stop it.
Yes, y'all really
granted,
do.
I'm going to assume that majority of y'all didn't have that same approach. Many of y'all probably laughed at it like the rest of us.
I think a lot of people, a lot of the Greeks that I knew, that even the ones that weren't Kappas, they were laughing at it. And they thought it was hilarious. Like, this is how y'all are reacting to this.
And my thing, too, is like, and this goes for any fraternity or sorority. I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. Like, y'all, stop it. Like, and I know we have a lot of UT listeners, and some of y'all are like, I don't know there was black fraternities because UT is.
But there's a Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity on UT's campus, and an Omega Psi Phi.
But for all of y'all out there that are in fraternity, fraternity, we salute y'all. Like I said, I understand why you joined them, and you know, there's much respect to them, but that respect has to be mutual. Stop it. Like, none of y'all are going to run up on Bootsy. And matter of fact, I want y'all to.
I really do. And Bootsy ended all this with saying that if y'all are going to continue to shimmy and dance and step to his song, Wipe Me Down, which he want to learn how to shimmy. And he had a brother on his IG Live teaching him how to shimmy, teaching him how to do the whole cap and step with the shoulders and the elbows and all of that. So I'm glad it ended up that way. And Bootsy, the most hilarious thing was him trying to create his own step team.
Yep.
That was hilarious. And Bootsy saying he wanted a cane and he tried to get the baby a part of it and said, when he got off the phone, man, I'm mad baby couldn't be a part of this. He wasn't going to do it, man. He's like, could you see him with some suspenders coming out there clean? That was the most hilarious thing in the world to me, bro. Like, he really trying to get this rap step team to start shimmying on stage. That's good. That'll be hilarious if he get that done. We got probably the hardest working man in Austin in here, man, rolling in 2020.
Yes, sir. This man
wears a lot of hats and does a lot.
They say when you are in the music industry, it's best to make yourself a business.
Yeah.
J Soldier definitely exemplifies what that means. to call him just an artist would be an insult to what J Soldier does out here.
He's not a businessman. He's a businessman.
Yes, sir.
How you doing out there, sir?
Man, I'm doing well, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to, you know, this is my first time in the studio with you guys, like in this part of the studio, so I'm happy to be here, man.
Getting real generic just to kick it off, for those who don't know who J Soldier is, let the people know a little bit about yourself and your artistry and who you are.
Yeah, for sure. Like I say, you know, go by J Soldier, hip-hop artist straight out of Austin, Texas. I represent the For Life Forever Entertainment. For Life Forever stands for what you do today determines your tomorrow. How do you want to be remembered? I want to be remembered for life forever. Hope everybody else does too. I wear a lot of different hats in the city, man, you know, from doing shows and facilitating opportunities for the community and, you know, definitely, you know, doing my thing as a hip hop artist, you know, just, you know, pushing these vessels to accumulate the ultimate success or the ultimate goal, which is, you know, really reinvigorating the urban entertainment experience here in the Southern region and be able to compete on a commercial scale with, you know, a lot of the people out there who are doing the things that allow us to, you know, put our craft in front of a live audience, man. So, yeah.
So with the smoke out, the one thing I like about the Smokeout is that it does showcase a lot of the new up-and-coming talent. Like, Fresh, at one point in time, had the ATX Freshman List, right? Which you were part of. You were part of the first one.
I was a part of the first
They're
one.
They're trying to tell people for years, bro.
Young alumni, man.
For years, bro.
I feel like the Smokeout has picked up that torch to help, like, showcase the new upcoming talent.
Right.
One of the things, though, that has kind of been rumbling, which is unfortunate, is that the Smokeout is kind of like a pay-for-play thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you respond to people who might view that as a negative thing? And how do you kind of shape it to be? Because I understand the positive of it, but how do you, like, explain the positive side?
Right, 100%, man. And I'm glad that I get to be on this platform and talk about the pay-to-play thing, man. The thing about the pay-to-play thing is that, you know, I wanted artists to be able to get an opportunity to understand the ins and outs of where their investments are going.
Yeah.
You know, when a lot of these promoters or, you know, people who are throwing these shows, they're taking the money from these artists and there isn't any more dialogue after the artist is paid.
Very
you know?
True.
So, you know, the things that I'm doing is I'm making a strive to let the artist know that, hey, I value your investment. I value it so much that I want to show you where it's going, how it's being utilized, and how you can make money and flip your investment. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, the Smokeout has an algorithm where I've paid over 70 plus acts that have been on my stage, you know what I mean, in Austin. So, you know, it's not that you're paying to perform, it's that you're getting an opportunity that is specifically catered to you being able to maximize off of your opportunity on stage.
Yeah.
You're getting in front of people who want to consume music. You're getting in front of people who want to know who you are because your investment is helping me fund the opportunity. Your investment is helping me educate the market and get people hip to who you are. Because, you know, the thing is that nobody knows who you are. If I have a platform and the platform has established a brand in itself,
which it is,
you know, you have to pay for that, you know. But in the same essence, it's not that so much of you having to pay for the platform, it's you paying for the service using the platform for what it's designed to do. And it's to make you be able to perform in front of a fan or an audience that want to consume, that wants to consume your content, and also be able to take the footage and take the media press, the things that we do within the show. You know, it's more than you paying to be on my show, man.
Yeah.
It's about me providing you a valid opportunity that's going to get you in the door to open up more opportunities within the city.
You just did this past Tuesday,
open mic competition.
The open mic competition. Right. So
that was live too.
Yeah, man, so it was amazing.
First, what inspired that and how did that end up turning out?
Right. So the open mic competition was amazing, man. What inspired the competition is you know, just being innovative, you know what I mean? Trying to find things, you know, with the smoke out being something that we do every quarter, we want to be able to have something at an intermediate scale where artists aren't feeling like their arm is being twisted by performing, by having to pay max dollar to be in one of the prime spots on the smoke out. So it's like, hey, well, how about you jump into this competition? And, you know, if you're really good enough, then I'll make you a headliner.
One thing that you're doing, which is probably pissing people off, is like getting rid of all the excuses. A lot of times artists, like, you don't have the outlets.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
When artists say, like, there's no outlets in the city doing that, so you got smoke out.
Right.
You go to smoke out, get yourself going.
Right.
Y'all talk about y'all rap so well on these, y'all get mad at these lists. Go to go to Jay Soldier's hip hop competition. Like
100%. Man, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Official Jay Soldier. Follow us also the smoke out at the smoke out ATX. Stay in the loop with us. Find out opportunities that you can be on for these next shows. Anything that I got coming up, man, you can always tap in at the smoke out ATX or follow me at Official J Soldier on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm very active there. Or you can hit me up on the Facebook, J Soldier Official. You know what I'm saying? It's just backwards. But yeah, we right here, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, appreciate you coming, man.
Excellent conversation. Okay, so we got two things about to happen. Both things are pertinent to Austin. One, we're about to do Unpopular Opinion with Fresh. After that, we have a special announcement about our next showcase next month. So first off, Unpopular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All righty. Well, my unpopular opinion isn't about Austin, so
don't want to confuse you. You're from Austin, so it's going to...
So a couple weeks ago, I want to say, yeah, it was about a couple weeks ago, whatever. I was scrolling on Twitter on my timeline, and I saw a post with a picture of Diddy, Jay-Z, I want to say Yo Gotti, and a couple other well-to-do gentlemen in the music industry. And somebody had captioned it with, "These are our black leaders. It's over $1 billion in wealth in this picture. These are supposed to be our black leaders." And Not one of them has opened up a school, a hospital, started a bank, et cetera, et cetera. That wasn't the exact quote, the exact caption, but that's basically what it was getting at. And I'm kind of sick of that. And I know Malcolm X, I don't know the exact quote, so I'm just going to paraphrase, famously has said, you know, when you look at, you know, white America, you know, their leaders aren't the athletes or the entertainers. You know, so why are black people, our leaders have to be these entertainers or the athletes or the singers and what have you? Why are they, those aren't black leaders. Those aren't our black leaders. And as much as I admire and love Malcolm X, I disagree. And so my unpopular opinion is you don't have to be like a social activist or a reverend or a pastor to be a black leader. I don't think that defines a black leader, and I don't think that everybody that says they're for the people speak for everybody. I think people would agree that Muhammad Ali was a black leader, and he was an athlete. I think people would agree that possibly to a certain extent, Marvin Gaye was one. I think people would say that Sammy Davis Jr. was a black leader, or Jackie Robinson was a black leader. The things that they did outside of what they were known for are the reasons why they are black leaders. Yes, the Malcolms, the James Baldwins, the Martin Luther Kings, the Bayard Rustins, those were black leaders. They did a lot of social justice, and they weren't entertainers or athletes or what have you. But Sammy Davis Jr. did. He made great strides in entertainment for blacks and Jews, to be a black Jew, because like he was the only one that did it. And somebody like a Jackie Robinson, who broke the color barrier in baseball, was huge, but he also was a social activist in the civil rights movement and a World War II veteran. And somebody like Muhammad Ali, we all famously know, protested being drafted for the Vietnam War. So when I saw this brother post this picture on Twitter and with that caption, I immediately went to, well, that statement is wrong. Not in the fact that there's over $1 billion in wealth in that picture. Yes, that is true. But to say that these brothers haven't done anything of any significance in the black community is false, because Jay-Z has literally paid legal fees for families in fighting social injustice. Diddy has like 5 schools in New York open. To say that black entertainers aren't black leaders because they aren't doing what you feel they should be doing or going about helping the community in a way that you feel that they should be helping the community, it's just bogus, man. Like, you can't dictate how somebody should be a leader. Some people lead the way that they see that they only need to lead. Now, if you holler out Kanye West is a black leader, I'm going to smack you in the face because he leads wrong. He's a horrible leader. But I don't think you have to, like, take your money and open the bank. It would be great if Jay went and took his $1 billion and opened up a bank. But I also don't think you don't also open a bank with your own money. So I think it would be great if Yo Gotti took his money and opened up a hospital in Memphis. That would be great. That would be a great thing. But I did just read that Yo Gotti and Jay-Z said they were going to sue the state of Mississippi for the injustice for prisoners if things did not change. To me, that's black leaders, because I don't see any other black leaders jumping up and doing it. I don't see Al Sharpton doing it. I don't see Cornel West doing it. And these are people who are considered black leaders. I don't see Tavis Smiley doing it. Like, so you can't always define somebody by exactly what they do with their money for being a black leader. A leader is more than just one thing and can be defined in many different ways, shapes, and forms. And that's my unpopular opinion. My soapbox.
We also have an announcement.
Yes, we do. So on February 13th, 2020, live at Stubbs Indoor will be the second annual Love Lockdown presented by The Breaks. It is what we view as the premier R&B show here in the city of Austin, where we showcase the premier rising and already talent R&B soul talent here in this city. So this year you will see the likes of Jake Lloyd. Everybody loves Jake Lloyd.
Amir Soul.
Jay Wild and Aria.
So it's gonna be a great show.
Sounds will be provided by Ninth Sage.
Oh yeah. So you guys come out. If y'all went to Love Lockdown last year with Lisa and Lonnie headlines, y'all see how she tore that thing down. Jake is just as good as a performer as Lonnie. So man, please come out. Please check it out. It's gonna be a great show.
Yes, February 13th.
Stubbs
Indoor. More information will be provided later on, but that is the big announcement. So, hope to see you all there. And now, ladies and gentlemen, is that time of the night where we get a little bit wiser by the wise words of Mr. Jones. Here is Confucius Says.
My Confucius Says this week is just about, once again, it's 2020. I know a lot of you guys hit the gym trying to, you know, get yourself back in shape because New Year's resolutions, all that stuff. I drove by Gold's Gym the other day.
It was packed out, huh?
Oh, my parking lot was insane. I drove by it. all I'm here to say is just, you know, bettering yourself should not be like an annual thing. It should be an everyday thing. Me and Fresh just interviewed Jay Soulja. Jay Soulja is somebody who is doing a lot in the community, somebody we highly support, somebody who is definitely a friend of the show. The reason why we had to ask him such pointed questions about, you know, like the pay for play or just, you know, the overall importance of the smokeout is because even though he is somebody that we admire, we still have an obligation as journalists, because me and Fresh are journalists, to ask questions that are pertinent to the person we're talking to. And so one thing that me and Fresh have talked about and we're going to continue to do is also give you guys more hard-hitting interviews, which, of course, involves the goal of growing in 2020. Me and Fresh, I feel, are great interviewers, but because a lot of you guys don't know the artists, a lot of our questions involve us having to ask artists questions about who they are and what they got going on. But now, as time goes on, some of these artists, you're starting to hear on the radio more, you're starting to see come up here repeatedly. Some of y'all might even know them. It's going to be these hard-hitting questions, man. No one missed the nice guy. So hopefully this year, We're going to start bringing people into the studio that you guys know. I can't speak who they are because I don't even know if they're coming up here or not. And we're going to start having these conversations with them because these conversations are important. You know, the Austin urban scene from hip-hop, R&B, rock, rap, and all that is a very growing and thriving scene. But these people are not immune to these type of questions. So in 2020, as far as growth physically and mentally, I don't know what me and Fresh are doing, but mentally, as far as the breaks goes, we're going to continue to go hard, get better every day for you guys, and be the best radio show in the city. And also vote for us in the Chronicle.
Yeah, that too. This week, for Local Song of the Week, we have Jay Soulja and his song, Problems. Jay Soulja is an Austin native who recently made waves with his sold-out smokeout shows and his new release, Gucci Flamingos. Now here is Problems by Jay Soulja.
Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown. Production support provided by Art Levy.